Shalom Ruvecha to all. Welcome back to Torah Imecha Haftorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Micha Horitz, and today we will be starting the Haftorah of Parshas Truma. Parshas Truma begins a new chapter in the book of Shemot. The book of Shemot is divided into three main topics. Shibud and Gula Mitzrayim is number one, Shemot Ve'erbo B'Shalach. Then we have Matan Torah, of course, and that is made up of Parshat Yitro and Mishpatim. And then we move to the end of the book of Shemot, and that is the last five Parshiot, and that is Truma Tetzaveh Kitisha V'Yakob Akudeh. And the overwhelming topic of those Parshiot is Binyan HaMishkan and Melechar HaMishkan. So Parshat Truma begins, and Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, Darbel B'nei Yisrael, V'yichuli Truma Me'ei Kol Yisrael She'id Venu Libo Tichu Es Trumati. And Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and they shall take from me a portion from every man whose heart motivates him to give. You shall take my portion. And what is the truma that you should take? Zahav v'kesef u'nechosh, you should take gold, and you should take silver, and you should take copper. U'tchelef argaman, you should take blue wool, you should take purple, v'tolat shani, scarlet wool. The sheish, you should take linen, the izim and goat hairs, the orot elim adamim and ram skin dyed red, the orot tachashim, tachash, the tachash was a special animal, it was a multicolored animal, and its hide was used in the uppermost layer of the mishkan, the atzei shitim, and you should take shitim wood, shaman lama or oil for lighting, besamim l'shaman mishkan, you should take spices for the anointing oil, vila ketorah samim, and you should take spices for the daily incense offering, avnei shom, v'avnei mu. These were the special stones that went into the breastplate and the shoulder straps of the Kohen Gadol, the ephod with a choshen for the apron and for the breastplate. Ah, Shemot 25a, Asuli Mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. What is the whole purpose of this Binyan HaMishkan? You shall make for me a sanctuary, you shall make for me a holy and designated space, and then I, my divine presence, v'shachanti Shechina, the Shechina will dwell amongst them. Okay, the topic of the Haftorah is very clearly connected to the Parsha. That's just the beginning of the Parsha. And then the Parsha begins to tell us about the construction of the Aron Kodesh and the Shulchan and the different Kelim that were constructed to go into the Mishkan. We just did the first eight Pesukim of the Parsha. So what is the Haftorah? It's from Sefer Melachim Aleph. It actually begins in Parak Hei, okay, Pasuk Chavav, through Parak Vav, Pasuk Yud Gim. I thought it was interesting that it ends in chapter 6, verse 13, 6:13, because like you'll hear at the very end of the Haftorah, the last two Pesukim, are Hashem warning Shlomo and reminding him that my presence will only dwell amongst you if you go in the ways of Torah. And what is the Haftorah about? Ah, getting all the supplies and the builders and the beginning of the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. No wonder it is the Haftorah for Parsha Truma. Okay, chapter 5, verse 26. We are in Melachim Aleph. V'Hashem nasan chachma l'shlomo kasher dibrelo, and God granted wisdom to Shlomo, just as he had promised him. V'hi shalom ben Chiram uvein Shlomo, v'yichusu brishneim. Now there was a peace covenant between Chiram. We are told earlier in Parak Hei who Chiram is. Chiram is in Parak Hei, Pasuk Tezvav. We are told that Chiram is Melach Tzor. Chiram is the king of Tzadi Vavresh Tzor, translated in English as Tyre, which is to the north of the land of Israel. There is a peace treaty between Chiram and Shlomo, and the two of them established a covenant. Now, King Shlomo, in order to build the Beit HaMikdash, needed to raise a tax from the people. So he raised a tax. He instituted a tax from all of Israel. However, Vayihi Hamas, it wasn't a monetary tax. It was a draft. It was a labor draft, however, not an IDF draft, not an army draft. A draft of laborers who would work with the construction of the Mishkan. Vayihi Hamas Shloshim Elef Ish. Amazing. It was a draft of 30,000 men to do the labor for the Beit HaMikdash. And what did Shlomo do with these men? He sends them to Lebanon. Why? To assist Chiram in transporting. They need wood, like you're going to see. There's going to be a quarry. But he didn't send all 30,000 men at once. Asaros alafim bechodesh, chalifos chodesh, yu balavon and shnayim chodashim beveso. So there was an exchange. 10,000 a month in shifts of 10,000 went up to Levonan. 1 month they would be in Lebanon in active service. service for the kingdom. And then 2 months, they would be at home. Very, very interesting. And Adoniram, yeah, one of King Solomon's ministers, Alamas, he was in charge of this tax. But it was, again, tax of people. We need a lot of laborers. How are you going to build this magnificent structure if people are not coming to do the work? So we're drafting men. Pasuk of Tesh. Verse 29, now, in addition to all those men, thousands, tens of thousands who went to Lebanon, King Shlomo had also 70,000, fascinating, Nosei Sabal. They were porters. And Steinjo's Ketuvim explains, they transported hewn stones to the construction site. In addition to that, Ushmonim Aleph Chotzei Bar, 80,000 who worked in quarrying stones from the mountainside. Not only that, those were the ordinary laborers of the kings. Levad misari hanitzavim l'shlomo asher ha'al hamlacha. Amazing. Besides were the chief officers who were in charge of the labor. You need overseers to be in charge, okay? How many? Shloshas alafim shalosh meos. 3,300. They were the ones who governed the people who were in charge of the labor. So you need the actual laborers. You need people to get the wood from the Levonon who went up to Hiram, the king of Tzor, or Tyre. You need those who are quarrying stones from the mountainside. You need those who are porters who are carrying the massive stones. And you need overseers to of those who are performing the labor. And the king commanded, Gedolos, and they transported huge stones. Avanim Gedolos, Avanim Yekaros, very precious stones. Liaseid Habayis, in order to what? Be the foundation of the Beit HaMikdash. Avnei Gazit, they were cut and hewn stones. Now, this is very, very interesting because when we think of how many laborers there were, I'm sure that I hope. Most of us, if not all of us, have Baruch Hashem. Either you live in Eretz Yisrael or we have been zoche to visit Eretz Yisrael, and we have stood at the Kotel, which was only a retaining wall of the Har HaBayit Beit HaMikdash, not a remnant of the Beit HaMikdash itself. We have done the Kotel Tano tours. We have toured Ir David, and we see the massive stones that are used in construction of these sites. And when we think about thousands of years ago, before they had, I don't know, diggers and cranes and bulldozers, and before architecture and before the technologies that we have today. And we think of how they took such massive stones and brought them to where they needed to be. It's really just quite a palace. It's just astonishing. It's amazing. And you see here that King Solomon needed to have tens of thousands of workers in the construction of preparing the materials for the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Amazing. Vayifsulu bonei Shlomo ubonei Chirim v'hagevilim. And now we're told that bonei Shlomo, King Solomon's builders, and ubonei Chirim, Chirim's builders. Remember, we learned that there was a covenant between King Shlomo and Chirim. V'hagevilim, and the gevilim. Who are the gevilim? Steinsaltz Nevi'im explains, Gevil was a city and a kingdom in northern Lebanon, approximately 40 kilometers north of Beirut. It contained a major port. It was a port city, which served for commerce in cedar trees, and it was famous for its artisans. So clearly, this is why King Shlomo was using the people, the Gevilim, the people from Gevil. It was a port city, so perhaps they put the materials, not perhaps, into the ships. They would sail it down to the land of Israel. They were also very famous for cedar trees and artisans. And interestingly, Steinsaltz Nevi'im notes that the name Gevil appears in archaeological findings. So the archaeological findings corroborate what we have here in our Nevi'im, which is always so amazing to me when you not that we need corroboration for what we find in Tanakh, but it is just very, very interesting. It's fascinating when we do. So the builders of King Solomon and the builders of Hiram and the builders from the Gevilim, Vayachinu Ha'etzim, they prepared the wood, the Ha'avanim, and the stones, Livnot Habayit, to prepare the house. That is the end of Parakeh. Haftarah continues 13 psukim into Parak Vav. And now, this section now describes the actual construction of the house of God, what we call the Beit HaMikdash. Vayihi b'shmonim shana, and it was in the, listen to this, Vayihi b'shmonim shana v'arba meot shana, let's say b'nei shom eretz yisrael, very unusual way of counting. We are now told that 480 years after the Yitziyah Mitzrayim, b'shana ha-revish, in the fourth year of King Solomon's reign, b'chodesh ziv, what is is Chodesh Ziv. Very fascinating. The Pasuk then says that Chodesh Ziv, Hua Chodesh Hasheni, is the second month. We call the second month Iyar. The Nevi'im here calls it the month of Ziv, Zayin Vav. Ziv is one of the original Hebrew names of the month of the year. And Steindl's Nevi'im notes only a select few of the original Hebrew names of the month appear in the Bible. The current Hebrew name of the months, like we know, are Babylonian origins. So what we call the Hebrew months of the year are really originate from the Chachamim in Babel, Babylonian names, but here it is called Chodesh Ziv. It's interesting because Ziv is a Hebrew word that means glory or splendor. In the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, Vayetze Akum Be'er Sheva, Vayetze Harana. So Rashi says that when a tzaddik leaves a place, Vayetze Yaakov, when a tzaddik leaves a place, Oser Roshim, it makes an impression. When a tzaddik leaves, Pana Ziva, Pana Hoda, Pana Hadara, the glory, the splendor, the radiance of a city leaves when the tzaddik leaves. So Ziv means splendor. So this is the Hebrew name of the second month of the year. And perhaps part of that splendor is that the construction of the Beit HaMikdash, the splendor, the home of God, the splendid home of God, began in this month. So here we go. It was in the 480th year after the children of Israel left Egypt in the month of Ziv, which is the second month for the reign of King Solomon over Israel. Vayiven habayit Hashem. He starts to build the Beit HaMikdash, the house for God. We've all been to Eretz Yisrael. We see today what is atop Har Habayit. We stand on the steps or on top of the churva, the viewing platform, or on top of Eshel Torah, or going down to the steps. And we all see today, we have to understand that when we go to Daven by the Kotel Maravi, even though, yes, the Medrash Rabba Shirim says, Hine Zeh Omeid Achar Koch Toleinu, Mashgiach Minach Alono, Meitzit Minach Harikim, this one stands behind the walls, supervising from the windows, peering from beyond the lattices. And the Medrash Rabba says that the Shechina never leaves the Kotel Maravi. There is a presence of Hashem's kavod and divine presence that never departs from the what we call the Western Wall, Kotel Maravi. But we have to remember that this is a small, paltry, and sad reminder of the glorious house for God that one day stood atop Har Habayit, the splendor of all of Israel, the epicenter of Makom Hashechina. And today, Shu'alam Hilchuba, we are lacking and learning about Shlomo and the massive workforce and the materials and the supplies. And Chodesh Ziv not only should give us an appreciation for what King Solomon built, but should also make us feel a lack and a sadness over what we do not have today. Tisha B'Av is not only about sitting on the floor and, you know, hearing Eicha and waiting until we can eat. It's about trying to internalize what we are lacking. When Am Yisrael had sovereignty in her land, and there was Jewish kings, and there were Kohanim serving, and there was Avodah Karbanot every day, there was the bringing of the Bikurim, there was going to be the Shalosh Ugalim, Aliyah Regal. So today, Baruch Hashem, we have a Medina, Baruch Hashem, what Jews for 1900 years only cried and dreamed of in their wildest dreams they could not imagine. My grandfather, I've told you many times, he writes in his memoirs, we lay on the barracks after a hard day of slave labor, and we spoke about the murderers. We said they were sent by God and their end is near. And we said, whoever will survive this hell will live to see the Messiah. Whoever will survive this hell will live to see a Jewish state. I'm quoting verbatim. Yitzhak ben Moshe al Hashem. These words were written in Yiddish, and that's the translation. But we have to understand that we are still lacking. There's something very great that's missing. And as long as the Shechinta begalusa, the Shechina remains in exile, we do not have the Beit HaMikdash where the Shechina dwells. There's something very lacking in our experience as Ovdei Hashem. And then the Pesukim start to talk about the overview, the general overview of the temple structure. We have the length of 60 cubits, the width is 20 cubits, the height is 30 cubits. We are then told in Pasuk Gimel about the Ulam al Pnei HaHechal, the hall before the sanctuary even was the length of 20 cubits along the width of the house. And we are given all the measurements and the dimensions, if you will. We are told that King Solomon made windows into the walls, just a machlokas of the windows windows were narrow on the inside and broad on the outside, or vice versa. There were windows in the wall. There was a surrounding annex. There were chambers. It gives you all of the measurements of the annex and all of these chambers. Pasuk Zion tells you, v'habayis b'hi b'noso evin shleima, masa nivne, amazing. The houses and the construction was built of whole stones, which were transported. We already said, when we see the stones today from archaeological digs that stand for the retaining wall near David, we wonder, how did they get these here? It's a total power of how they got them here. It's really just incredible and amazing. Very, very interesting, fascinating. Kavos, I'm in Pasuk Zion, Uma Kavos, Vaha Garzen, Kol Kli Barzel, Lo Nishma B'Bayis B'Bunaso. This turns back, this goes back to something actually at the end of Parshas Yisro. Okay, what this means is that while they were building, hammers, the axe, or any iron tools were not heard in the house in its construction. If you look at the end of Parshas Yisro, which I know is a Parshas Matan Torah, but right at the end in Parachof, we are forbidden from using iron, Barzel and swords when we cut the stones for the Mizbech. It is an Isser, it is a Lav D'Oraisa, not to cut the stones for the Mizbech using iron or a sword or Barzel. And here we are told, actually, that in the construction, none of that was used in keeping with the biblical mandate not to if you wave your sword over the stones, they will become defiled. Okay, and it's amazing. And we have more measurements and more details regarding to the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. How does the Haftorah end? We're going to look at Pesukim Yud Alf through Yud Gimel. Vayihi Dvar Hashem El Shlomo Lemer, the words of God to King Solomon. We're saying, Habayis Hazer Sha'at Habona, this house that you build, Im Teilech B'chu Kosai, V'es Mishpatai Ta'asa, V'shamartas Kol Mitzvah, there's a contingency. I'm not just coming here to dwell for free in this house that you built, says God. Oh no, if you go on my chukim, my statutes, and my mishpatim, and you do them, and you guard all my mitzvos to go in the path of mitzvah, then, v'hakimosi estivari, then I will keep my word, itach, with you, asher dibarti, o David avicha, that I spoke to King David, your father, v'shachanti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, then I will dwell amongst the children of Israel, v'lo as of Esam Yisrael, and I will not abandon my children Israel. So Hashem says, the house is very beautiful, the external is very beautiful, the wood, and the stones, and the jewels and the precious metal. It's going to be a beautiful home in terms of physical material wealth. But is it going to be a beautiful home in terms of spiritual wealth? That's only if you and the nation, Teilech B'chu Kosai, will you go on my statutes? The Es Mishpatai Tasa, will you perform? Will you do my ordinances? The Shamartes Kol Mitzvosai, will you guard all my mitzvos to go in the race? Then I will establish my covenant and uphold my word with you, like I spoke to David your father. Then Vishachanti Bishoch Benezra. Today, in the absence of the Beit HaMikdash, Rechmanotzon Sheibanabim Heira Bakarbi Aminu Mamish, we have to remember that the way to bring the Shechina into our world, if we want to Kosh Baruch Hu to dwell with us and amongst us, is to keep the Chukim. Keep the Mishpatim Chukim, those that have no rational reason, Mishpatim, the rational laws, Vishamarta, call Mitzvosai, when we guard all the mitzvos, then ultimately God will dwell amongst us, velo as of at Ami Yisrael. Hashem promises when we keep Torah Mitzvot, he will not abandon his nation Israel. Thank you so much, everybody. We should merit to see the rebuilding of Bayit Shlishi, Jewish sovereignty, and the reestablishment of Jewish kings, David Melch Yisrael, Yavovi, Galilim, Mashiach Tzidkenu. Have a wonderful day, Be'ezra Hashem, Shabbat Shalom. Thank you so much, Kol Tov to all.